Hello and welcome to Jill Johnson's Money Wisdom. I'm John Stillman, alongside Jill Johnson, certified financial planner, co-founder of Johnson Brunetti, the author of 5 books, including The Money Map and Forced to Retire, and most recently, The Lump Sum Pension Payment Guide. You've seen him published as an author in Forbes, The Wall Street Journal, and The Hartford Business Journal, and you've seen him as the host of Better Money on WFSB Channel 3 on the Sunday Morning News with Kara Sundlin. Always happy to get your wisdom here on the program. Joel, how are you this week?
Doing well. Welcome, folks, to another program. We're going to talk about how do you know certain things in the financial industry today? How do you know? How do you know about your money? How do you know that you're doing the right thing? We'll talk about that a little bit in one segment. And then we're going to talk about inflation. We've been now hearing for 3 to 4 years that inflation is going to rear its ugly head with the financial bailouts, with the government printing all that money, with the Fed carrying such a massive, massive amount of assets on their balance sheet that they've basically been trying to stimulate the economy with buying those assets. And so how is it going to affect us when it comes to inflation? Very, very important question, and we'll tackle that. Also, we may get to some of your email questions. So I'm excited about the show today. You might want to take a pen and paper, take some notes, and John, let's jump right into it.
Let's jump right in. Indeed, we'll start with what you said earlier. How do you know certain things? How do you know the answers to these questions? And the first question, Joel, is how do you know how much income you need when you retire? A lot of people think they know the answer to that, but they haven't really gone through any sort of specific process to find the answer. So who knows if they came up with the right answer or not?
Yeah, and this is a challenge in this day and age because some people don't fully retire. I think of my mom and dad. My dad now, Fred, is age 81 and my mom is 83. And when I look back on my dad's retirement process, it was interesting. At age 65, he was working for a company, and they gave him a package to stay for another 5 years. Then when my dad was 70, he didn't really want to retire. So they let him take that lump sum pension they had created for him. He rolled that out into an IRA that we helped him with, and he kept working from there. And now he actually is still working for the company. It's a charity that helps people around the world. But he only has to work about 1 day a week. So what's happened with my dad is, you know, he thought during his 60s he was going to need a certain amount of income, and he kind of wanted to replace about 100% of his after-tax income. He thought him and my mom could travel as much as they wanted to on that. Then, of course, he got into his 70s and said, hey, I kind of like to keep working as long as they want to keep me on. And now what's happened is since he's only getting paid for 1 day a week, we're giving him a couple $1,000 a month. He's got his Social Security, so he's got Social Security for him and my mom. He's got a couple thousand a month coming from an investment account I manage for him. And then, of course, he still gets some pay from the charity that he works for. So that's just an example of how this is not as simple of a question as a lot of people think of it is, because yes, there are many of us, probably more than half of us, that actually retire and it's one shut off. We leave the job, we stop getting that paycheck, and we create our own paycheck every month through our retirement savings and Social Security. But for other people, it gets more, a little more complicated than that. So what we really need to do is create what we call a retirement income plan, because our retirement income plan that we do for folks when they come into our office is it factors in all those different contingencies. You could be as sophisticated as building one for somebody like my dad, whose income is going to gradually go down, and then you might even want some flexibility to account for any changes that might take place, somebody changing their mind. Or you might have that typical client of ours that says, hey, I'm retiring at a certain age. It's 3 years from now. I need to know exactly how much money that I can take out of my investment accounts. And then my wife and I need to decide whether that's going to be enough or not. And so that's an example of retirement income planning, where we customize a plan based on your need. It's very difficult to just say, like some of the magazines are telling you folks, well, you're going to need 70 or 80% of your income. I would be very cautious of making that assumption. Some people need more, some people need less. It depends on your individual situation. I also had an executive from a company, one of the big insurance companies here in the Hartford area, that retired recently. And part of her retirement income plan was for the first few years exercising stock options that she had to provide about the first 3 or 4 years of income. So in her unique situation, she didn't have to take any money off of her savings and pension for a few years because the stock options and the value of those options were so high. So it just depends on your situation. What you need us to be able to do for you is create that retirement income plan that shows if you're going to be okay for the rest of your life and where should you pull that retirement income first. It even factors in when should you take Social Security.
A very important question to get to the bottom of early on in the planning process, because the retirement income plan really hinges on the answer to that question. How much income do you need? So got to be sure that you get that one right. Joel, another question is, how do you know how much money you should have in the bank? A lot of people are wondering just how much they should have in checking or savings or money market or something like that.
Sure. And here's where we can sort of fall back on one of those rules of thumb. And ideally, you have about 6 months of your living expenses in the bank. So if it's costing you $5,000 a month to live, well, then maybe you need about $30,000 in the bank. If you're working and you're younger and you've got young kids at home and you got a couple cars that are financed that might need repairs and so on, maybe it's a little more than that. For some people, it's a little less. But 3 to 6 months in general of your expenses that you need after tax in the bank so that you don't have to borrow in case of an emergency, or you don't have to go and take money out of long-term investment accounts in case of an emergency.
Another how do you know question, Joel, is how do you know how much risk you should be taking with your investments? And I don't think people necessarily ask it exactly that way, but maybe it sounds more like, okay, how much volatility is appropriate or something like that.
Well, correct. And there's the old, on a scale of 1 to 10, what is your risk tolerance? 1 meaning no risk and 10 meaning very aggressive. That scale is flawed. That whole question is flawed. We actually have up on our website now, people can go to the johnsonbrunetti.com. That's obviously Brunetti with two T's, johnsonbrunetti.com. And you can actually take your own customized risk profile. And you are asked questions that are a little more in depth and emotional, and it will come out with a risk score. And then if you want to take it to the next level, we can actually compare your risk score that you got by answering those questions with what the true risk score of your portfolio is. And so it's very, very important that you not only get a handle of how much risk should you be taking based on your emotional investment DNA, but also does your portfolio line up with that risk?
This is Money Wisdom. Joel Johnson is sharing his wisdom with us. We're talking about how do you know the answer to some of these questions. Joel, how do you know if the fees in your portfolio are too high?
Well, you simply say, first of all, am I happy with the performance of the portfolio? And then secondly, what am I paying in fees? Now, the problem is a lot of times fees are hidden. We have different types of variable annuity products where the fees are very difficult to figure out unless you actually read the prospectus, which very few people do. You might have an investment management account where you're paying an investment management fee to the financial advisor, and then internally in the mutual funds, if you own mutual funds or exchange-traded funds in that account, there are some additional charges. The bottom line is you want to make sure that you're getting value for what you're paying for. I recently took a long trip out to Phoenix for an investment conference to learn how to not only invest folks' money better, but also how to run this firm better as the CEO of this firm. And I paid a little bit more to fly first class. So it's not always about, I could have saved money if I sat in coach, but I wanted to get some work done. I needed the desk in first class, the little table that I could, stretch out and work. So I didn't mind paying, I think it was about $350 or $400 extra for that first class seat because I was able to get much more work than that done. So there's an example of I got value for what I paid for. The problem is when you're sitting in coach next to somebody, they paid $200 for their ticket and you paid $800 for the ticket. That's the problem. If you're paying more for the same or less value, then that's a problem. And that's how you need to look at your investment account. So we can help you figure out exactly what fees you're paying. We do that all the time. But also I want you to understand that cheapest isn't always better. It depends on the value you're getting for what you pay.
Great example with the coach and first class illustration. Last how do you know question for you, Joel, is this. How do you know if an advisor is a good fit for you or not?
Well, I think, first of all, if you're talking about getting a new advisor, you need to be interviewing people. And I think one of the most important things is that you find somebody that understands your individual situation. Do they listen well? Do you feel like you have a relationship with them? Does it seem like they're being sensitive to your needs, or are they just going through some kind of a robotic type of a appointment that they run everybody through? Secondly, do they specialize in folks like you. So if you're a retiree that's worked very hard and saved a good amount of money and is somewhat conservative in their spending habits, do they work with a lot of folks like that? If you're a tech CEO or a tech executive and you don't mind risk and you have a lot of stock options and maybe you got a couple race cars and a nice boat and you love to, you know, go on real nice vacations, do they work with folks that have a similar personality as that? So that's a big part of knowing if your advisor is a good fit for you. And then, of course, they should work for a firm where there's a lot of support. There's support staff. There's different people that can help with questions if you call in and your advisor's not there or in a meeting and so on. Those are three things. And in the back of my book, The Money Map, and also in the back of my book, Forced to Retire, I have sort of a little list of things to look for in a financial advisor so that the financial advisor fits you. And of course, either one of those books you can get when you come in and visit with us. And folks, let's talk about how that works when you come in and visit with us. In fact, I mentioned that Phoenix trip. I met somebody at the airport that had been listening to our radio program and watching me on TV for about 2.5 years. And he said, my wife and I are going to come in for a visit. But exactly how does that work, Joel? So here's what I told him. When you come in for a visit, first of all, and he was the only one there, his wife wasn't there, I said, make sure your wife understands that we're not going to put any pressure on you. This is not walking into a car dealership where they really hard close you or you go to a timeshare presentation. It's just oh so uncomfortable. We are here to help folks in any way we can. We don't pressure anybody. About 90% of the people that come in and talk to us are helped in some way, but that does not mean they become clients. It just simply means that we might have a different way for them to look at their investments. We might have a different conversation to suggest that they have with their current advisor that they might not plan to leave. We might have a different take on when they should retire. So they leave our office with a lot of value, but there's absolutely no pressure. Most people want what we call our Money Map Retirement Review or our Money Map Retirement Plan. And what that consists of is a retirement income plan to see if you're going to have enough money to last for the rest of your life based on your goals. Secondly, a risk analysis of your portfolio. I mentioned this earlier, and you can go on the website and get a taste of what part of that looks like and feels like. And then last but not least, that one-page financial plan. On one page, very visually, with graphs and colors, you see exactly what your financial life looks like. For many people, they say that one-page plan is the first time they've understood everything that they have and how it works or maybe doesn't work with each other. So that's our Money Map Retirement Review, folks. I want to offer that to you for the folks that call in the next 5 minutes. Call 1-800-705-1232. That's 1-800-705-1232. Call now and get your Money Map Retirement Review. You can even text your first and last name, if that's more convenient to you, to 1-800-705-1232. That's 800-705-1232. Text your first and last name. One of my staff will call you back and set a time for you to come in and visit with us. Or if you want to just call, same thing. You leave a message and we'll call you back and set a time for you to come in and visit with us. I look forward to helping you. Call now or text now, 1-800-705-1232.
So whichever is easier for you, you can call and leave a voicemail or shoot us a text message, whichever is more convenient. Either way, the number is the same, 800-705-1232. That's 800-705-1232. When you come in for your Money Map review, you will get a copy of Joel's book, either The Money Map or Forced to Retire, whichever is more applicable to you. Call or text 800-705-1232. This is Money Wisdom. Joel Johnson is a certified financial planner and co-founder of Johnson Brunetti. Joel, let's talk about inflation. We were talking about how do you know a bunch of different things earlier in the show. Well, that's another kind of how do you know question is inflation. How do you know what inflation is going to be? So I guess on that note, how much would you say the average person has thought about addressing inflation in their retirement plan? I mean, is it something people have accounted for or no?
Well, seeing how the average person hasn't even thought much about their retirement plan, and of course, I know that you listening to me right now are different. You've probably thought about your retirement plan because that's why you're listening to the program, but unfortunately, the average person hasn't. Then they, you know, along with that, haven't addressed inflation in their retirement plan. I would say for the people that come in and see us, John, and I'm thinking of a couple that came in just last week, they had done a pretty good job thinking through their retirement and how much income they would need, and they were really wondering if their mutual funds and their 401ks were allocated properly, but they hadn't really thought about the fact they're going to need raises every single year. So it's very important that, you know, as part of your retirement income planning and your investment planning, you factor in the fact, it's just a fact that you're going to have to take 2 or 3% raises every single year to keep up with inflation.
Yeah, got to be sure those raises are factored in there. And I think you're right. A lot of people haven't addressed it. What rate of inflation do you generally assume when you're, you know, constructing a retirement plan for the average person?
We use three. If you look out over, you know, trailing, what they call trailing 10-year periods in the financial world, or you go back and you look at, you know, 10 or 15 or 20-year periods, usually you're going to find about a 3% average, sometimes a little less, sometimes just a touch more, depending on if you capture those early years of the Reagan administration and of the Carter administration. That's going to obviously skew you higher. But 3% is pretty safe. So we use 3%, which means if you want to start out in the first year of retirement getting $10,000 a month, then in the second year it needs to be $10,300 a month. And then you add again another 3%, which is $10,609 a month, and so on it goes with compound interest. You have to increase that every year by 3% to keep up with the cost of living. And I think 3% is a pretty safe bet.
And the thing that a lot of people don't realize is, you know, 25 years into it, which is, you know, the average retirement, average length of retirement for a lot of folks, 25 years into it with 3% inflation, your expenses have doubled.
Well, exactly. So think of that couple that retires at age 65 that wants $10,000 a month. Well, one of them statistically will probably be alive at age 90. And at age 90, they're going to need $20,000 a month just to do the things that $10,000 a month did back when they were 65. So it can eat into a portfolio very quickly if the portfolio is not constructed properly and you don't have assets that will do well during inflation.
Are there certain types of investments that you see as good for combating inflation?
Well, sure. The general rule is that you want to own assets. You want to own assets because assets will keep up with inflation. Now, people go, well, Joel, what does that mean? What is an asset? Well, an asset can be a stock. It can be a piece of real estate. It could be part of a business. What an asset is not is an asset is typically not a CD. It would not be bank deposits. It may not even be insurance company deposits, although certain types of annuities can combat inflation because of what's standing behind them. But in general, assets would be stocks and real estate, the types of assets that most people can invest in. So over a long period of time, if you look at the return of the stock market, which is somewhere around 8 to 9%, again, depending on which period you're looking for, the stock market outpaces inflation on average by about 5 to 6%. So think about that. You're getting inflation, which is 3, and then maybe you're getting another 5 to 6% on top of that. That is what you want. Now, everybody doesn't want all their money in the market because most people can't handle it. So there's a sort of a paradox here. We know that if we put all our money in the market, we can leave it there for 50 or 100 years, that you're going to combat inflation, or at least historically speaking, you will. But most people can't do that. In fact, I was just talking to Eric, my business partner, yesterday, and he was talking about somebody that owned Amazon. If somebody put $10,000 into Amazon stock when it first came public, bought in the public market, so not the public offering, but the first day it was trading, you bought it in the market, just like anybody could have, and you held on to it to now, that $10,000 is worth about $4 million. However, try to find somebody that did that. It's unlikely you could ever find somebody that held on to Amazon for that long, because there have been times, multiple times, when it's dropped 5 to 6% in a day. There have been multiple times when it's gone down 15% in a month. Most people would have gotten scared out. So we can't have all our money in stocks, and I'm not suggesting at all that you buy real high-tech stocks for a majority of your portfolio. You've got to have some kind of an offset, because the key is to stay in there. So a mix of stocks, bonds, real estate, possible insurance company products will help you stay in the market when things are not going well, and then maybe you can get that great compound rate of return that keeps up with inflation.
I saw that same stat probably that Eric was looking at, something like in the first year, Amazon was up 30%, and ever since, it's been up 45,000% or something like that.
Ridiculous. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
But, you know, you think about it. If you put your money in that stock and it was $10,000 and you went to $100,000 as quickly as that stock went up 10 times, how many people would have stuck with it? Very few. And then let's say you did stick with it and it goes up to 120 and then it drops to 80. Now you're, think about the psychology there, folks. It goes up to 120. You only put in 10,000 bucks. The value goes to 120,000 and then it drops, for example, to 80,000. Most people would just wait till it got back to 120 and then just bail out. Yep. So very few people can hold on to 100% stock portfolio over the long run, which is why diversification is so important. Regular meetings with your financial advisor are so important so that you don't do the wrong thing at the wrong time, which is what most people do.
Very interesting discussion. And Joel, let's open up the mailbag really quick and take a question before we have to get out of here. We're going to go to Aaron, who says, I've always assumed that it's better to work with a big financial company because they presumably have so many resources compared to a smaller independent office. What would be the reason for working with a smaller company?
Well, the reason we're for working with a small company or a big company, with an independent firm or a firm that's part of a big company where the people are actually employees, they're not independent, the main reason is you are choosing the advisor. You are looking for a good relationship with an advisor, or with an advisor and their team, where you feel like you are understood. I will stand up on a soapbox all day long and say you are better off with an independent registered investment advisory firm. I will take that to my grave, that you are much better off working with somebody who's independent. Now, it's got to be a strong firm. It's got to be well-staffed. It's got to be a profitable firm. They've got to have hundreds of millions of dollars under management, preferably fee-based type investment management and so on. But I think you're just much better off with an independent firm than a big firm like some of the large brokerage firms. We can all think of the names, because they have incentives to sell certain products over other products. In fact, that's one of the reasons why they're fighting the fiduciary rule right now. We're fiduciaries. We've been fiduciaries for a long time. But some people are not fiduciaries, and some of the big firms are sort of fighting or upset about this fiduciary rule. So I think you're better off with an independent. But small company, big company, independent versus somebody that works for one of the big brokerage firms or banks, you really want to find that advisory and that team that can walk you through retirement. So I'm not going to say that there aren't any good advisors at the big financial firms, and I'm not going to say there aren't any bad advisors that are in independent offices. You need to find somebody that's right for you, and that's why it's so important to talk to folks and to get second opinions from time to time, just to have somebody look over the shoulder of somebody that you might be getting advice from. Now, you have to be careful. If you get in front of an unethical person, they are going to try to just poke holes in your current advisor's business just so they can get your business. But I think most of you have a good gut and you can tell when somebody's being honest, sincere, and telling the truth. Make sure they care about you and your family, not just getting the fees and the commissions from your money. So great questions today. We've talked about inflation. We've answered Aaron's email question about choosing an advisor. We've talked about, how do you know certain things? How do you know how much income you'll need? How do you know how much money you should have in the bank? All of these subjects are part of the financial plan that you need to be successful in retirement. So whether you're already retired and you want to make sure that you're not invested in a way that you're taking too much risk, or whether you're working your way up to retirement, now is the time to take advantage of our Money Map Retirement Review. What I'd like you to do is call now, 800-705-1232. That same number we gave out a little while ago. We have room for another six callers. 1-800-705-1232. You can also text your first and last name to that number, 800-705-1232. Call us and take advantage of that sit-down visit with my team, and you'll get a customized Money Map Retirement Review. It's a customized financial plan based on your goals, your needs. It's a unique process. Nobody else in the area that I know of does a process exactly like we do it. You'll get a great second opinion on what you're already doing. And of course, you can be the judge whether you want to engage us further. It's completely free, no obligation. Call now, 800-705-1232, and you can text that number.
Great opportunity if you're retired or getting close to it. Call or text 800-705-1232. Again, that's 800-705-1232. Joel, always a pleasure to talk with you. Certainly appreciate you making time here every week, and we'll look forward to the next time.
Thank you, John, and have a great week. We'll talk to you again next week.
For Joel Johnson and everybody at Johnson Brunetti, I'm John Stillman. This has been Money Wisdom. Have a great week.
investment advisory services offered through JB Capital LLC, a registered investment advisor. Insurance products and services are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents in all appropriate jurisdictions.